Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More and more patients are having to get their metal-on-metal artificial hips removed and replaced. It's being called one of the country's biggest medical device failures. A small but growing fraction of the 500,000 people in the United States who have received an all-metal hip over the last decade are suffering injuries associated with their hips. And again, I repeat, a small but growing fraction. This is still not most of the people with these things, but now we know there's a bigger risk than they thought. These faulty devices are shedding metallic debris as they wear, which poses serious risks to those patients. So any of you with an artificial hip, anyone contemplating hip replacement surgery, or really anyone with hips who expects to live a long time, listen up. Joining us now is Barry Meyer, the New York Times reporter who's been all over this story. Barry, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Good to speak with you.
And first of all, there are several kinds of artificial hips. We're talking only about the metal-on-metal kind, right?
That is absolutely correct.
And what exactly is failing with these devices?
What's happening with these devices, Brian, is the rubbing. Basically, an artificial hip is a ball and a cup. And as the ball rubs against the cup, in the case of metal on metal, there are basically small particles of metallic debris are being generated, shed, and these tend to break down and cause irritation, tissue damage, and early device failure in a substantial number of patients.
How soon after their surgeries?
This can happen anywhere from 1 to 5 years after. I mean, there is an accelerating rate of failure of these devices the further you move away from the implant operation.
Since January, there's been more than 5,000 reports of faulty devices. That's just this year, more than in the previous 4 years combined. So I guess it follows that we'll see more and more each year.
Yeah, this is a growing problem. I mean, to put this into the best possible context, these devices were used previously in Britain and in Australia several years before they started to be used in the United States. And there's now an accelerating wave of failures with these devices in those countries, and we can expect to see that wave kind of start growing here.
Manufacturers apparently did warn that the all-metal devices posed some kind of risk. So were the warnings not sufficient? Was there any deception or fraud here on the part of the manufacturers? How would you characterize that?
Well, I don't know if I'd agree with that statement. There actually was no warning that these would pose a greater risk than, say, metal and plastic devices. There has been one device made by Johnson & Johnson that's been withdrawn from the market. That was recalled last year. But at the time that these devices were marketed, they actually were marketed very aggressively to consumers through direct consumer advertising or through doctors.
So do you think the FDA dropped the ball here by approving them before they could really be tested for a sufficient amount of time?
I think the proof is in the fact that these devices were sold and implanted in tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people without being tested in people prior to these procedures taking place. So I'll let you and your listeners judge whether the FDA dropped the ball.
Well, then with respect to future products, is there a policy discussion that should flow from this?
Absolutely. And there is a policy discussion going on now. The question is, how will this policy discussion be decided? Will the FDA require greater testing of these products or won't there? And at the moment, there appears to be tremendous pressure both from investors in these companies, the medical device industry, to kind of not change the current policies.
By the way, regarding the warnings that I said had come previously, I didn't mean to imply that they came from the companies to consumers. You had written in your article, more than a decade ago, some researchers had warned that the hips shed tiny pieces of metallic
Correct.
Debris that posed potential health threats to patients, but those warnings were not heeded.
That's absolutely correct. And there were also warnings by some researchers in the last couple of years that there were problems with these devices. And they were, again, there was a year or 2 years before these began to get serious attention from other doctors and from the orthopedic community in general.
So I'm sure we have some listeners who are at this moment considering getting hip replacement surgery or know someone who is. The metal-on-metal hips are common, but there are other options. What are your options?
The other options are basically plastic-on-metal hips. I would urge anyone considering hip replacement or who has to have his hip replacement, and it's something that people don't do voluntarily, obviously, to look at the reports that are out there, particularly from the orthopedic associations in Australia and in Great Britain. They have fairly sophisticated reports because they follow the outcomes of hip replacement surgery, both on the types of materials that are used in these replacements, as well as the specific models that are used. So patients really do have information out there that they can research. The problem is we have nothing comparable to that here in the U.S.
Bob on our website in Westchester asks, weren't metal-on-metal hips introduced because of lawsuits and complaints about the plastic used in the older model replacement hips?
Basically, metal-on-metal hips were introduced because there was a reasonable concept that these hips would be less prone to dislocation than existing artificial hips, and they would last longer. There were problems with older plastic hips in the sense that they also shed debris as they wear. Any device does. However, over the last decade, new types of plastics have been developed, and the data tends to show that they are much longer lasting than the older plastic hips, and they also tend to fail less than the metal-on-metal hips.
And there are ceramic ones too, right?
Correct. That is also correct.
And I guess each individual would have to look into the pros and cons of the different types if you're in that situation. And what we've really got here is new information about the downsides of the metal-on-metal ones. Now, several commenters on our page have asked about titanium. They want to know if we're talking about titanium hips.
All hips, irrespective of the material that they're made from, shed debris. Metal, various types of metal. It could be titanium, cobalt, chromium. It could be plastic coming from plastic hips. It can be metal coming from metal hips. What the large databases in England and Australia show, and they now appear to be in agreement and show it unequivocally, is that as a group, metal-on-metal hips fail earlier at a higher rate than plastic and metal hips.
What about people who may be listening now with metal in other parts of their body, metal rods in their backs, mm-hmm. pins in their ankles, nerve conduits? Any reason for those people to worry more now about metallic debris?
There does not seem to be. I mean, what's happening here, again, bear in mind the action of the ball and the cup rubbing together. So you basically have two surfaces rubbing on each other, and that creates the debris. So if you have a metal rod in your leg, there's not another component that it's rubbing against to generate this debris.
Should there be a recall of metal-on-metal hips?
I'm not in any position to opine on that one way or another. One device has been recalled, which was the Johnson & Johnson device. Another device, which was made by another company, is no longer sold anymore.
Uh-huh. And obviously you're not going to recall them from inside people's bodies.
That's correct.
But the FDA did order in May, and we have 15 seconds left, that all metal hip manufacturers now develop studies to track better the failure rates, right?
That's absolutely correct, and hopefully we'll know more about that as these studies progress.
Barry Meyer, New York Times reporter, covering the metal-on-metal hip replacement failures, a major medical device failure in this country. Thank you very much for explaining it to us.
Thanks again, Brian. It's a pleasure.
And that's it for today's show. Don't forget that in an hour from now, you might want to go to our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. where there will be live coverage of Chris Christie's announcement that's expected to be whether or not he's going to run for president at itsafreecountry.org at 1 o'clock. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.